Thank you, Your Worship. Look, this is quite a significant one. It's been in the waiting in the wings for quite some time. I think it was Councillor Hull who originally suggested a second dog park for the City of Marion, or two dog parks for the City of Marion. What I'd like to move in this particular one is point 2 and point 3 to also include Dumbarton Avenue Reserve, so that we undertake community and stakeholder engagement for Quick Road Reserve, Hazelmere Road, Road Reserve and Dumbarton Avenue Reserve for both points 2 and 3. In moving that, you'll note that I also have a motion to do with this particular site on page 533 of this evening's agenda. We have a fairly active dog community who use Dumbarton Avenue Reserve at the present. The other item is in relation to getting rid of the on-leash provisions of that site. We have quite a lot of people who are using that site as an off-leash site at the present. It is, especially in the early evenings over the past 18 months, I believe, it has almost become a de facto dog park. In terms of size, it's over 4,000 square metres. There's a few issues with the site in regard to the proximity of neighbours. However, I think it's worth at least sitting down with the community and having that chat about this particular site as well. Many of those who are currently using the site for dog exercise purposes were not actually actively aware of the consultation that we had done in relation to this. However, it had actually been raised as a potential site, not by a lot of people, but it had been raised within that consultation. And furthermore, I note that 74 out of the 135 responses that we had were in favour of a dog park in the Northern Precinct. Of course, Quick Road is also in the Northern Precinct as well. I commend the motion to Council and look forward to an interesting debate. Your Worship, I wasn't actually aware when we were doing the consultation that this site was actually being used for that purpose.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. One more possible site is not really an issue for me. I'm glad that we got to this stage. Councillor Fyfe is right, I did push for a second dog park, and it's rewarding to see us get to this point. Even though Hazelmere has been perceived by the community as being a dog park ever since we put a new fence around that area when we bought it off the school from the Education Department all those years ago, in my first term on council. I think that even if we do not pick Hazelmere, Mr. Mayor, it will take some stress off Hazelmere. Hazelmere cops it from near and far. Many people from outside our council area bring their dogs to Hazelmere, particularly from our neighbour to the west. And even if Hazelmere is not picked, it will actually be helpful to have another dog park, be it Dumbarton or Quick Road, where people can actually take their dog and do their thing. Mr. Mayor, this is actually as much as a playground for adults with their dogs as it is for the dogs. And it's part of our community. People value their pets, particularly dogs. And I go as far as to say that some relationships have been formed through our dog parks. The owners talk to each other, fraternise, and things go from there. So, you know, there's more to a dog park than the dogs. There really is. And we're all the more enriched through having dog parks. Other councils have done it well. There's some notable ones around Adelaide. I'd like to see us stand toe-to-toe with those other councils in terms of the amenity for dogs. This one's called Doggy Park or something, where they have very soon, if not now, the festive decorations to our north in Charles Sturt, I think it is, in that precinct. So, look, I urge you to support it. If the fact that Don Barton's in there is not really a great concern. It's only a consultation exercise at the end of the day. It doesn't mean that we're going to have three extra dog parks. We're only going to have one more. So, you know, it's just another one in the mix. And, yeah, thank you for bringing it up, Councillor Pfeiffer, and I support it.
As anyone speaking against, Councillor Gard, and then I'll come to Councillor Crossland.
It's really a question or seeking of guidance here, but I do know I'm not against Hazelmere. Point one, it seems very practical to me, but I wanted to draw attention to members that there is a very significant cluster, namely Dover Gardens, Seacombe Gardens, Seaview Downs, Seacliff Park, which is a continuous area, leaving aside the suburban names. It's a continuous area, and there's a cluster of 28 of that sample that we've listed in favour of a dog park in that area. And so my question is there a way that we can acknowledge that cluster? And even the Hallett Cove one, that's a different case because we've already got one in the south at Reserve Street Reserve. But
well, Councillor Gard, I think that one of the reserves that was mentioned in that vicinity was Cadell Reserve.
Yeah, and unfortunately it is only suitable for small dogs, but what troubles me is that I wouldn't want our public, because this is a public agenda item, obviously, I wouldn't want our public to feel that we're disregarding a serious cluster and not bringing it into account in our thinking. So is there a way that we could note these clusters in the item for future reference, but give Hazelmere, for example, the green light as first preferred?
Well, I think if you want to cater for that area, an amendment to the motion might be appropriate, because after all, this is only asking for further community and stakeholder engagement.
Yes.
And concept options, I suppose, and some degree of drawing on the back of an envelope or something. But you could move an amendment to include Cadell Reserve, if you wished.
I'll write out an amendment and pop that up.
All right. Well, it's going to be fairly simple to include the name.
Yep.
It'll be in motions 2 and 3. After Dunbarton, to add Cadell, is it called Cadell Reserve? Cadell Street Reserve, thank you. It's just literally adding Cadell Street Reserve as a fourth one.
Well, if I could so move the amendment.
Yes, and you've already really spoken to it. Is that seconded? It's seconded by Councillor Crossland. You wish to speak?
No, but I do have a question.
You do have a question. We'll take this opportunity. You can speak on this motion or the existing, on the amendment or the motion. Up to you.
Yeah, in the report I can see that Cadell is mentioned. I don't recall Dunbarton. Can staff assist us why Dunbarton was originally discounted? Because it's not in the report.
Through the Mayor, yes, originally Dunbarton was not included. We were aware of the use of the site and particularly around the small dogs. It was just due to the size of the reserve being, if we were to fence off a portion of that, we'd be left with about 2,000 square metres, which is a similar size to Cadell, and the reason that we discounted that later on that we may not provide a dog park in line with the community request, which was for a large dog park, I suppose, with a small dog park area. So it was just a bit limited, very similar to Cadell. The reason Cadell was kept in the mix at the time over Dumbarton was because it was one of the most requested sites, and we'd also recently received the Fund My Neighbourhood application as well, which let us know that there was a fair bit of community demand, but we've also since had some community complaint about that site for a dog park as well. So,
Very well. I'll put the amendment. It's essentially whether to include Cadell Street Reserve or not. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. That's carried by majority. So we've got an amended motion with the four options. Any further speakers? Mm-hmm. Councillor Telfer.
I move an amendment.
There are only a maximum of two amendments allowed. But got a few more dog parks there. I would like to point out too that my earlier comments, inspired by Councillor Pfeiffer's contribution, are in no way reflecting on Dumbarton Reserve or the residents. It's a fine reserve, it's well used. My only concern as Chair is the procedural approach to it, and it's always easier if we hear about these things before the meeting. It makes it easier to manage. Okay, Councillor
Telfer. Speak to the amendment.
Yes, please.
One in the 139 people that filled out the survey wanted Quick Road as a dog park. Just 50 metres away, using the same potential car park, is the Southern Oval for Mitchell Park Sports and Community Centre, used predominantly for the exercising of dogs. The Dover Gardens Obedience and Kennel Club supported the proposal of the dog park at Quick Road only because they could advertise their puppy training and dog skills training. To me, Quick Road is a duplication of services of Mitchell Park Sports and Community, Southern Oval, where dogs have predominance. They are off-leash, they are trained to be off-leash, they can be on-leash. John, the head instructor of Mitchell Park's the Dover Gardens Obedience Club, said last Sunday that the Mitchell Park Southern Oval, one dog in 20 years has run away. One dog was provoked by a child and has attacked. Other than that, in that whole 20 years, there haven't been incidences. The costs at Quick Road are going to be greater than $300,000. It was a little more in the reports that came out this week. But as soon as that's built, we will not get away without having toilets. We will not get away without having stronger lights. At the moment, the lights are dimmed because the residents asked for the lights to be dimmed. I feel very strongly that this is a duplication of resources, and to go on perpetuating this by working on concept plans and looking at design and trying to further this further, to me it's not appropriate. So that's why I'm amending this motion.
Ah, well, now there's a problem with that. I do have a point of order. In my view, it is acceptable to delete Quick Road, but it's not acceptable to delete Dumbarton or Cadell Street Reserve, because they've been specifically inserted by the current motion and the amendment which has been passed. Mm-hmm. So if you want to just take out Quick Road but keep Hazelmere, Dumbarton and Cadell Street Reserve, that's an acceptable motion in my view.
Thank you.
If you only want us to look at Hazelmere, then you would need to vote against the amended motion and start again. That's the procedure. So is that your
view,
Councillor Telfer?
All right, I'll be guided by the Chair. It's possible to put in the exploration of Dunbar and Cadell because they've had less exploration and they don't have another dog place right on top of them. So I'm prepared to have those put in.
Very well. So if we take the essence of it is to remove Quick Street, Quick Road Reserve from the list and leaving three, is that motion seconded? Councillor Gard has already spoken, so I'd look for someone else who hasn't spoken. No, not just at the moment. I just want to see if that motion, that amendment is seconded. And Councillor Valescu, you can speak to the amendment or the original motion or the other amendment. So take your opportunity.
I'll speak. Look, I'm happy to put this up for the council to decide. Obviously, Councillor Telfer has been have some more intimate knowledge of the site and a history of its usage, and it appears that it would. We're recognising that there is a dog exercise area, but it's not formalised in that Mitchell Park precinct. I guess the thing about Hazelmere is I'd like us to put a fence for a small part of it to have a place where people can take smaller dogs or older people can take older dogs, especially having the nursing home, or not nursing home, it's a retirement village right next door. But I do think that it's not actually providing anything extra at Hazelmere on its own, it's just providing something different. So ideally, it would be good to have a smaller area for smaller dogs for people that use that facility, but also looking to have one or even two other sites, bearing in mind that there would be significant costs for a totally new site. So that's really all I have to say on that.
Question from Councillor Hull.
The reference is made about the Dover Gardens Obedience Club, about the lack of escapes. Well, could I ask the question of the fact that it is actually an obedience school could be the solution to that? No, it's not called an obedience school for nothing, and there are dog parks and not obedience schools. They're actually just any old...
You're straying into debate more than a question.
Well,
so I'll have to take your question as rhetorical, and you've already spoken in the debate. We will have to move on. Anyone who's not spoken could speak. Otherwise, it's up to Councillor Pfeiffer to close the debate. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship. It's a big night, so I'll keep it short and sweet. Look, with these locations, hey, there's a good chance that Dumbarton will be unsuitable. There's a good chance that Cadell Street will be unsuitable. But I think it's worth testing them, and particularly my reason for moving Dumbarton is not because it's, you know, within my ward. It's quite honestly because it's got a...
Point of order. Sorry, Tim. Order. Did we vote on the last amendment?
Yeah,
we haven't voted. I uphold the point of order. We haven't voted on the amendment. It was moved and seconded. I knew we had to move on to something. I will ask, this is about the inclusion. I think I was interrupted somehow, but anyway. I was putting the question whether the amendment, which is essentially that Quick Road be deleted from the list, whether that is supported. If you support that amendment, raise your hand. If you're against that, raise your hand. I'm going to take it again because some members do the kind of secret auction thing of just poking a little finger up. Can we do that properly, please? If you're in favour of the amendment, raise your arm. Right, put your arms down. All those against the amendment, please. Right, the amendment is carried by a majority. So, we are left with three. Back to you, Councillor Pfeiffer, to close the debate.
You get the gist of what I was saying. Look, I think it's worth testing, and with the Dumbarton one, I think I was not aware of the existing use. I'm highly aware of the site, wasn't aware of the especially early evening use of this site for this purpose, and I think it's worth at least testing it with the broader community, not just the dog community, but the broader community as well. Same with Cadell Street. You know, I think it's worth asking the question and seeing what comes back.
All those in favour of the list of three for exploration, raise your hand. All those against, it's carried by majority. Thank you. Now we move on to page 224. That means we're nearly a third of the way through the agenda. Tennis and netball review update. Again, a lot of work has gone into it, people, and you've had opportunities to ask questions of staff, etc., before we get to the meeting. But anyway, over to you. Who would like to move something? Councillor Till. Let's go ahead.
I have worked my way through the work that's been done on this whole program. We came on to council and we wanted to work very much on tennis and netball facilities because it was something that has been waiting for at least 6 years. Now we have a structure, we have some successes, we have Stanley Street as a success. We have the sorting out of the Ballara Tennis Club. We have some new work being done at Clovelly Park Community Centre and at Woodford. And also Warradale Tennis and Marion are hopeful that they can have resources to finish the work that they want to do. Over and above that, the courts that we hope will be at Seaview High School. We are hopeful that that will move forward. At the moment, it's far too slow. The progress is lengthy, but we are still hopeful that there will be six courts in the vicinity in Seacombe Heights somewhere, either on our land or on the Seaview High School site. So I'll so move.
Is that seconded? Councillor Hull.
Mr Mayor, I think that whilst we're moving this tonight, and I assume we'll have support, and it's been a long time in the making, as Councillor Telfer alluded to, we also have some unfinished business inherently part of the report. If I can reflect on the Warrakowie ward, Councillor Pryor and myself actually acknowledged the staff's advice that Hamilton Park Tennis Club was redundant, so was Ballara Park, and we actually decided, well, there's some inherent benefits in that both of those tennis court areas, if they're returned back to the community as open space, will be a net gain, because with these clubs, they're all locked up. They're actually determined as being open space, but they're not really open space at all. They're fenced off. So that is a benefit, even though maybe it would have been nice if those two clubs had succeeded and flourished, but they didn't. Which brings me to the final point, Mr. Mayor, is that we decided that we'd actually have some destination tennis places. And the one that we picked in the Warrakowie ward was the Warradale Park Tennis Club, which has been benefited by some federal funding in the last election. But there is some unfinished business there in terms of what they want to achieve. In terms of actually meeting community expectations, there's more that needs to be done, and I can only hope the staff will pursue external funding with the next round from the state government, and that we actually start thinking about how we can actually contribute to that as well, because we may have a mix of funding, a 50-50 as an example. So there's work to be done to actually walk the talk, to meet the rhetoric that we put out there. The Messenger Press covered this quite thoroughly a while back, that there was some stink between us and Tennis SA. That wasn't quite the case, and even they would acknowledge that if we actually carry through with what's printed here tonight, this will be, in round terms, a benefit for tennis in Marion. And in closing, we shouldn't forget the netball. The netball was identified as a real deficit in our city. This is a real gain. It's been overlooked. It's been overshadowed by tennis. The netball, which is predominantly a female sport, is a net gain. That is really super important. It's really super important. It's probably the biggest importance factor in this whole report that gets glossed over. So I put this recommendation to you, and I thank Councillor Telfer for moving it.
Anyone speaking against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. On to page 135, the draft events plan, and I note that Councillor Crossland has suggested particularly that we have a small quantity of regular ongoing funding for the wonderful Hallett Cove Anzac Day service, which is essentially community run. So I believe that's in there as well. My only disappointment is that we haven't adopted as a tagline for the City of Marion, full of surprises. It truly is a city full of surprises. I find that at every council meeting I come to. And but maybe that belongs more properly in the marketing plan. So it's a very fine piece of work, and congratulations to Ms. Vogren and Mr. Clark and Ms. Cox for putting this together. Councillor Valeska.
In regards to if there's any changes of the naming of the events at some point, is that something that can happen, or do we need to, just in case something, can that be done informally, or does that need a motion?
Well, I suppose this is fixing the internal name at least, but the marketing could be varied. Did you have a colourful suggestion, perhaps? Well, I think it's probably a certain amount of flexibility. Mr. Clark, did you want to comment?
Through the Chair, the name of the event could be anything which you wish it to be. We're not fixed on anything at all.
So that can change during the process after this motion? That's not an issue?
Absolutely.
I'm happy to move it as is, and thank Councillor Crosland for including that event. It just seems silly that they need to go through a process for something that is quite a large event.
And just to clarify, that the motion that that incorporates the Hallett Cove Anzac event is on page 138. So that's what is referred to in the report as an alternative motion. So that's the adoption of the report, but it includes the $5,000 per year for Hallett Cove Lions. I thought they only wanted $2,000 a year. Hang on a minute. Before we go any further, Councillor Crossland, what have you been up to?
I think is what happened is they only want $2,500, but council actually spends $2,500 already on it from beg, stealing and borrow from budgets, and we wanted to formalise it. I think Mr. Clark may be able to assist with that.
Think of a number and double it, Mr. Clark.
Third Chair, not quite. What we're doing is there's about $2,500, which they actually need. But in addition to that, there is money for road closures as well as a relocation of toilets and things such as that. So by putting it all together, it does formalise, there's a degree of transparency around exactly how much we do give the event.
Transparency, that's what we like. Councillor Byram has an amendment. Sorry, just to check, Councillor Crossland, will you... hang on a minute. Councillor Valescu. You're right with your motion. Did you wish to speak any further?
I was hoping to... I actually meant the motion that was amended with Councillor Crossland's...
It's what's called the alternative motion.
Yeah, that's the
on
one
page
I thought
138.
I was speaking to.
That's what I thought you were moving.
Yeah, that's what I thought
that's
I was
it right
moving.
There.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mr. Mayor, is
right,
this...
So that's moved Councillor Valescu.
Yeah.
And Councillor Crossland is seconding... Did you wish to speak any further, Councillor Crossland?
No, thank you. I think just to summarise, the motion as presented is to try and incorporate everything around the city rather than just individual community events, and also gives an opportunity for us to support community events as they arise rather than sending people away to apply for a community grant next year.
Okay. Councillor Byron.
Thank you, Your Worship. I like the what's up there, but it needs a few additions. And so with the permission of the mover and seconder, I would like to add in a couple of things to that.
Well, first of all, just let us know what you have in mind.
Okay. So to point one, adopts the events plan attached as Appendix A with the following amendments. That Appendix A... Air December reads two by Christmas carols events, one in the north, Glandor, and one in the south, because that is happening, but it's not actually in there. And then page 165 to read 2018 Remembrance Day events, because it is not just one event that is happening in our area. It is actually a minimum of three events, because there'll be Edwardstown, there'll be Marion RSL, and there will be Hallett Cove. And when we had the Anzac Day centenary, the RSLs and places did get upset that they weren't listed, and we do supply support to them. So it needs to be events, plural, not just one event in there. And then the final amendment was in point five, when we receive a report in April, that there not be the $10,000 there, that it just be the proposed amount included in the report that comes back to us, because they need to look at all those events to see what the amount should be.
Okay. Before we decide how to deal with that, Mr. Clark, what's your comment? Ms. Vogren.
To just make sure that with the other events that you are referring to, that they are, from this report's perspective, they are actually community run and driven, and we support them, as opposed to the events that actually appear in the report, they are ones that council are actually operating and running on behalf. You know, that's one of our events, which is a difference. So just in case the carols perhaps in the south doesn't get up, if the community group isn't able to actually put the event on. That's all. Thanks.
So, Councillor Byron, do you want to just discuss that a little further? Because you can see staff are intending to just deal with events that City of Marion are supporting directly, I suppose. So do we need to put those extra ones in or not? What do you think?
Well, we used to support the one in the south. That's changed in the last couple of years, but it was back on again this year, but not run as a council one. So we need to investigate it. So I suppose that's more what I'm saying, is that needs to be on the list to look at for the report.
Well, the report is actually endorsing a series of events and a degree of funding for them. It's a bit different from investigating. That's why I'm so loath to do things on the run like this. Any further comment from staff?
Yes, thank you, through the chair.
Ms. Vogren was talking about the Community Events Fund and saying that if there's a group down south, for example, that's regularly putting on a carols event, they could seek to draw from that fund. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
That's right. So, Councillor Byron, do you want to sort of insist on those changes?
I still want them to be considered in the report.
Okay, look, the mover and seconder might agree, but I just wonder if that might be better off coming as an amendment, because it's actually a bit different, sort of a different order to what's in the report. Any comments from Councillor Valescu or Councillor Crossland? Take it as an amendment. Oh, yes, Councillor Crossland.
Just a question for staff. When we were looking into this, we did consider these types of additional events, as I mentioned earlier. So my understanding was that if the RSL are holding, say, an Armistice Day celebration, and they, or service, sorry, and they need, say, council determined they need road closures or they need some extra toilets, we would support that, and we could actually supply the toilets using the funds currently in the current motion. Is that correct?
That would be correct, yes.
Your Worship, I would just withdraw point A, if you like.
I understand the proposal is that council is taking responsibility to put on one official council event, although there will be others. But you want to clarify, Ms. Councillor Byron?
It's very important that we don't have the Cove Remembrance Day activity being the council event. That was a problem that happened for the Anzac Day one, and we really did offend the RSL with that approach. And we cannot afford to do that again. We must recognise that two of the major events for Remembrance Day will be at Edwardstown and also at Marion RSL. And we really are slighting them if we are saying that our event is Cove, and that is really offending them.
Why are we doing that, Mr. Clark or Ms. Volgren?
The conclusion that we decided to come to for the Remembrance Day down at Haller Cove is that we'd spent a major amount of money to actually upgrade the cove down there, have a war memorial in place, so we thought it would be appropriate to piggyback off the Anzac Day services and have an event down there to mark the 100th anniversary of Remembrance Day.
Can see that equity issue arising, and really they're in three different parts of the council area. It's one of the problems with being a relatively larger council. If you put all of your eggs in one basket, you've got other chickens that aren't happy.
If I may, Your Worship.
Byron, yeah.
So with those particular days, we have at Marion RSL, they're looking at putting in a memorial walk, and they have asked for funding, grant funding, for that. And so there will be a big event there, and we'll be opening that walk. So
right.
It is going to be still council-related. And at Edwardstown, we're not exactly sure exactly what event is going to be there, but it could be involved with the opening of that area at Edwardstown that is the memorial. And we need to keep ourselves, we can't just keep saying that it is one event. We have three areas where there will be something happening that we need to recognise.
Yeah, look, I think that's something that the mover and seconder are probably willing to take on board. So with leave of the meeting, we would use the plural for events. Would that then have any... would that page 165 were on people, would that then have any flow-on effects? I mean, because it only... The whole page is drafted as if there's one event. That's the difficulty. So I'm almost wondering, do we adjourn this? It's all very painful doing things on the run.
It's just a question.
is if the only point of further discussion is to do with the Remembrance Day, could we pass everything apart from the Remembrance Day and then we can work through that in more detail? Or is that just going to prolong the...
I mean, I think the reason that staff were keen to have the plan adopted is that so they can start the publicity, etc., for 2018 events.
Sure.
I mean, you can't sort of wait till March and then start your publicity for 2018 events, you know what I mean? So I think that's why it's come to us at this late stage of the year, and we know the meetings have been packed up until now. Maybe it's better to let it through with events plural, and if there are further funding applications or council assistance that can be provided, that can be managed as we go along. With leave of the meeting, the mover and seconder have adopted that change suggested by Councillor Byram. So it's just that 1A, as we see, isn't it? Is that the only one then? Sorry. Point 5 is remove the funding of 10,000. So we're going to come back and talk about that. Fair enough. Okay, we have a mover, we have a seconder. Other speakers, Councillor Hull.
In regards to Anzac Day, the other events like Edwardstown and Marion, they don't seem to have a Guernsey in this, it's all...
They don't. It's the same theme, isn't it? Because Council is regularly funding the Hallett Cove event because it's really been born out of the community through the Hallett Cove Lions with the help of Hallett Cove Rotary. The RSLs at Plimpton and Marion have for generations been the drivers of events there, so we don't support them in the same way. I think that's a fair summary. No? Councillor Clark? Clark?
Not quite. What we do is we have the Anzac Day Youth Vigil each year, and the infrastructure that we have for that is used the following morning to support the dawn services there. So in the 1 year it's at Marion, the alternate year it's at Edwardstown.
My final question is, in terms of Raja Street and the events I mentioned earlier, if they were favourably considered, would that be the type of event that could be funded out of that, which we're talking about small beans compared to some of these? Would that be the case?
Well, we haven't worked out the criteria, that's the problem.
That's exactly what I was going to say, is that the report will come back next year with the criteria and the guidelines, and we can work out from there what types of events would actually be funded for the community.
Councillor Hull, I suggest that between now and April you talk to staff about suitable criteria. Talk to staff about suitable criteria, you know, if you think that something should be happening in Raja Street, for example.
The staff could come back to us with a report and we could go from there, I guess.
All right, you can assume it's taken on board and the April report will deal with that in some way. If there are no more speakers, I think I can now put the motion. All those in favour, raise your arm. All those against... It's carried by majority. We now have an events plan. Thank you. Now, review of confidential orders. This is a classic case for moving en bloc, and we do need to take care in not discussing matters that are the subject of the confidential orders that we're talking about. Now, having been through all of these in some detail, staff are aware that there are two that I would seek to be dealt with separately. They're number 53 and 54 on the list, where the staff recommendation is no, and I've suggested that an alternative motion be prepared. So, unless anyone has any issues, would somebody like to move that all of the other... the recommendation here is just noting the report. Oh, I see. But but then there are, for each confidential item, there's a recommendation and a motion that things are either released in part or kept confidential and reviewed next year. So, if anyone has, perhaps I should ask, does anyone have any other items which they wish to pull out of the list? Because then we can deal with almost all of them at once. Very well. Would someone like to move that, with the exception of 53 and 54, that all of those motions be moved en bloc? Councillor Telfer, seconded Councillor Pfeiffer. Did you wish to speak to that? Councillor Telfer, Pfeiffer. Olsen, a question.
Just in basic terms, I think it's important to get this out here in the public. In terms of when we first started to now, what is the net reduction in confidential items that we're holding?
There was a drastic reduction in the first year, as you know. Not the first month, but the first time we've had a serious look at confidential orders. I think there were about 60 released from confidence at the end of 2015. It's crept up again this year, but they are mostly routine things. The changeover of auditors meant that there was some, which in itself was a routine thing, meant there were some confidential reports about that. The changeover of a tenancy in the Signatures Cafe, now Next Chapter Cafe, obviously some commercial and confidence information there. There were a few reports that dealt with that. And Chief Executive's renewal of contract, there were a few things around that. So it has bumped up a bit this year, but they've not been, I suppose, any matters that would give me a concern. They're mostly pretty routine.
If I can make a quick comment.
Sure.
I think that since we started to now, it's a much better state of affairs. We have an open DAP, that's a big tick, and to reduce that list of confidential items down to where we are now. And Mr. Mayor, your enduring attention to this, where confidentiality avoidance is something that you pursue on our behalf, and I appreciate that, and I think that deserves to be noted publicly.
Well, thank you, Councillor. I like to think that we now have a bias towards releasing rather than a bias towards covering up. Now, I've got mover and seconder. All those in favour, raise your arm. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. That was with the exception of 53 and 54. Now, they appear pages 298 and page 300. Now, I don't know how we can discuss this without moving into confidence. So I think we'll need to do that, and apologies to people in the gallery. Is there an appropriate motion? Ms. Dixon could be in, couldn't she? Or not?
Yes, no.
She's got rights over the original. She's the only one, I think. Well, Kate, Adrian, and why are we leaving Tori in or not? No? Okay. Because they're lockdown reports, Excel program, but could we have Appendix A sent to us by suburb order? And no, I know it's a challenge, but it's worth giving them the challenge, Councillor Pryor, don't laugh. And also, could we have Excel could be stretched to do this, but if you look at the number of votes and have it ordered by votes as well. So two separate different versions, additional versions of it, that would, I think, help some members look at these interesting projects, some of which were more popular than others, but it certainly helps us kind of get to know what the community have been asking for in the respective wards. I'm sure members will be interested in that. And of course, we're very grateful that two particular projects, which we have already taken steps towards, at the Oaklands Estate Reserve and the Marin Outdoor Pool, are to be the subject of contribution of $150,000 each from the state government. So that's a fantastic story for us and the community as well. Councillor Hull.
Happy to move with the recommendation, Mr. Mayor. They're two very worthy projects. I'd like to just briefly say that in terms of the data and the Excel sheet that you refer to, I think that that's beneficial to council. It's like a free survey in many respects in terms of what community want, even though the Fund My Neighbourhood was a concept that some of us did question. It reminded me of Australian Idol in some respects, and who votes for which performer. But nevertheless, there is some data there that should be of interest to us about what our community values and what their aspirations are. So I say move.
Thank the community members for actually taking the initiative. I know one of these projects was something initiated by a community member, and I voted, and it was actually good to see the various other things in the area, in the local area, that people considered. So I guess when we're looking at possibility to assist other organisations, that's something that we consider, or any ideas, like, for example, the Tool Library at Parkholm Community Library.
It's uncontentious. I'll just put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. I had jumped ahead to this one, page 397, Goodman Court. I'm jumping. I'm really keen to get to Goodman Court. Now, page 392, Temporary Community Open Space at Ash Avenue, Clovelly Park. Councillor Telfer to move.
Also move. Obviously we can't use Chestnut because it's got a fence all around it because of the EPA rulings on it. So we are in a temporary way going to use a piece of grass at the end of Burt.
Well summarised. Is that seconded, Councillor Hutchinson? All those in question, Councillor Huff?
Will it be irrigated? Because if it's not, we're going to have contaminated dust blowing right through the suburb.
Mr. Lyons might know, or Mr. Biffswood might know. He's the contamination man.
Thank you, through the chair. That's a good question in regards to the irrigation. I'm happy to take that on notice and advise members tomorrow on that.
Any more? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, what's next? Goodman Court. Page 397. I mean, the special thing about this is that we've been saying to administration, when we have a housing development and there's a compulsory 12.5% contribution for open space, we don't want to take the money or compensation. We actually want the open space. Councillor Pfeiffer to move.
Thank you, Worship, and I do move this, and I note your enthusiasm to get to this item this evening. Look, the developers with the state government came and spoke to myself and staff as well on the 5th of September, I think it was, and they presented their site plan to us at that point. The site plan that they presented to us, I've got to admit I wasn't happy with, and I made that fact fairly well known. The open space provision that they had drawn up had a very, very narrow street frontage, and it was very, very deep into the site, and it was effectively a backyard for the development, and it really didn't encourage any sort of community use whatsoever. I'm really pleased that I can eat my words and that what they've come back with, which you'll see on pages 403 and 404, is actually very different. They've taken that advice. They've considered the broader community. They've considered the applicability of this open space to the broader community, not just those future residents on that particular site, but the broader community in the area. We don't have a lot of open space in that little corner of South Plympton. And so I'm pleased to move this. Look, it is going to be quite a significant development. I have had a few concerns from members of the community in regard to this. It mainly has been in relation to the provision of the open space, though. And as I say, I think this is what they're showing us now, and what with a 49 linear metre frontage to Pleasant Avenue, I think is actually pretty good. And I think if we do continue to negotiate with Renewal SA, as point three suggests, I think we can actually, hopefully, get a reasonable outcome out of it. Thank you.
That's seconded. Councillor Kerry, wish to speak? Question, Councillor Crossland.
Yeah, just on two things on the open space. So just to set my mind at rest, if the local councillors are now comfortable with the open space, and does it equate to 12.5%? Yes, and the second one is on when we have similar developments with Renewal SA. I know when you deal with private developers, sometimes you're able to offset some other land with the 12.5%. So that's what I'm thinking there is we get a development, say, with Renewal SA. We've already got some decent parks in that area already. Are we able to negotiate, say, for the release of a number of houses in another area that Renewal SA or Housing SA own? In the future as a offset good. To the open space?
Good question. Ms Dixon.
Through the Chair, we're not aware of any such negotiations that had occurred. I mean, it could be also something we could put on the table, but it would be subject to Renewal SA considering it.
Can I just leave you with that as a question on notice for maybe future Renewal SA developments?
Yeah, we can certainly just discuss with RSA and see what their response would be.
Is any more housing developments in Plympton, we could have a new reserve in Hallett Cove, for example. Councillor Hull.
Would it be possible that staff could, when the opportunity arises, raise with Renewal SA the council's appetite for a similar outlook towards Drew Court? It's a very similar building, very similar vintage.
So that is sure to come up in the foreseeable. Yeah. So staff will take that on board. Thank you. All right, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now we're picking up a bit of speed. Page 408, I think. Henry Street Reserve. So, you know, I've already made my feelings plain about the deficiency of funds from external sources in relation to this, but we have to do it rightly and we need shade sales there. So Councillor Hull to move.
Happy to move that, Mr Mayor. It is consistent with our broader plan to use sun shades. This is something that Councillor Valeska, to his credit, has championed in his patch. This is in his patch as well. However, touched by Olivia has a special spot with me. Contrary to your outlook, Mr Mayor, if I would in an instant fund the remaining $265,000, in an instant, because I think the disabled kids in our city have been shortchanged for too long. And in fact, having some sort of inclusion in terms of disability in all of our reserves should be a quest. If we could start aiming for that, and believe it or not, that is the quest of Touched by Olivia. They're not just happy on one reserve in a one play ground in Adelaide. Their quest is to have access to disabled kids in every possible opportunity. And if this actually just goes another step forward in bringing about conclusion to this project, I'm happy to move it. And I ask for support from my colleagues.
Councillor Blescu.
And obviously shade's one of the important things. I'm glad that it's put in there because it's going to make the extra money you pay now, which is from savings from the current plan, is going to make the facility much easier and much better for people to use. So I'm glad about that. Also, in regards to the what we expected from external sources and what we got, we've still been able to pretty much deliver the playground. It's just a few little things around the edges that we haven't been able to finalise. So I'm quite comfortable with that. I think we do need to just be a little bit more cautious in the future when we are dealing with other parties, just to make sure that everyone's expectations are the same. And I've learned something from this process. But I look forward to having this there. And I remember a while ago being asked, actually in Oakland's estate by a gentleman in a wheelchair saying, have you thought about a Liberty Swing? And I asked about a Liberty Swing, and there was a whole lot of ifs and buts and whether it could happen. And for something then to come along, which actually is better, that provides an inclusive environment for people of various ability levels, is really good to see. And still, you know, so close to Oakland's estate reserve and right next to the outdoor pool.
Councillor Crossland has a question.
Just a question. It's some months since we've had an update as to what extra money Touched by Olivia are able to contribute. Are you able to tell us what that new figure is?
Through the chair, they haven't raised any further funding.
Not $1.
No.
No, but I was certainly very happy to contribute my $1,000 toward it out of my pocket. And it is a wonderful thing that we've done in creating this play space, playground, whatever. I don't think we need voting. Ready to vote? Councillor Pryor, question?
A quick question. Can someone talk me through the diagram on page 411, please? Not a particular question, just...
Orange quadrilateral chair is where the shade sale is going.
Yep.
Really? Is that near Oaklands Road? Or is that near Marion Road?
Yeah, that's part of the pavement design.
Perfect, thank you.
Done, all right. It's not contentious. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Well done, everybody. It's going to cover the heat spots in the city. Ranger Street Reserve, page 414. Councillor, someone to move. Councillor Hutchinson, you want to grab this one? Excellent. Moved as printed, Ranger Street Reserve. So that's seconded. Councillor Byram, any further discussion? All those in favour, raise your hand. Carried unanimously. Thank you. On to page 426, I believe. Castle Plaza Activity Centre. The deed for the road. There's a funny story about this one too. Councillor Pfeiffer's leaving the room. Who have we got to move a motion? Question, Councillor Hull?
Start with, in terms of the last briefing on this, has anything changed in terms of the layout at all?
That's a planning question, I suppose.
Just to put the staff in the picture, the last one that I believe we got was when they actually took up Council's suggestion of putting shop fronts on the both sides, if you like, of the Main Street.
Oh, I don't think you'll be looking at that. Ms Dixon?
Through the chair, so this agreement aligns with the DPA that Council endorsed to go through to the Minister, and this is needed as part of that DPA as well. There is no change to the DPA. Probably the only thing that is different is that when Council was having this discussion before and vicinity came, there was they weren't sure whether they would do the connector road as part of stage one works or stage two, but they are planning to do that as stage one works, along with when they do the residential development as well and the street calming of Raglan.
Ms Dixon, can you just confirm what you mean by the connector road, please?
So that is the... I haven't got the plan. So the connector road is the road that runs from Raglan through to... I'll just need to get the map of the other Atlin that goes onto South Road. So that connector road...
At the western end of their property, along the western edge of their property.
Yes.
Oh, well, I am super impressed because I vividly remember the last meeting. There were seven members able to vote. We were down a few that night. And we had Mr Smith, isn't it, from Vicinity up here. And the council staff resolution was that they don't bother to do the connector road. I was negotiating with Mr Smith and he was about to say, yeah, well, okay, we can do it. The motion was put unexpectedly, and a majority, I remember Councillor Carey, Councillor Appleby, Councillor Gard, I think, voted to go with a staff recommendation so that there was no compulsion at all for them to spend that $1 million that he was offering to spend on the connector road. Are you telling me Mr Smith has come back and he's going to provide that connector road anyway? Ms Dixon.
Through the chair, yes, they are planning to do that, which will help with the traffic calming along that road.
It's Christmas.
Oh, that is sensational. It is Christmas. It must be Christmas. Yeah, I'd love to see that in writing. It's not in the report, is it? Or is it? It talks about a connector road on top of page 427. The developer's currently considering constructing the connector road.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, considering. So, Ms Dixon, do you want to retract that Christmas present?
Through the chair, my understanding is they are planning to do that as stage one works. I can take that question on notice and get further details of, you know, how firm that commitment is and circulate that outside of the meeting.
Well, makes a bit of a difference, doesn't it? The odd $1 million between friends. What's the story on adjournment?
Through the chair, my understanding is we are trying to... So we've brought this to council now because and to seek the CEO authority to do some final amendments and then have the Mayor and CEO sign, because they're wanting to have this finalised before Christmas so it goes to the Minister and he will consider this along with the DPA.
What we could do is have an amendment which said subject to building, or subject to, creation, building the connector road as part of stage one. So, did we have someone move that already?
No.
Not yet. So it could be included in the motion. Who would like to? Councillor Hutchinson. So there's a point three there, subject to building connector road as part of stage one. Councillor Telfer seconded. Anyone speaking against? Then all those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? There is no one. That's unanimous. Thank you. I'll be pleased to sign off on that. Call me in between Christmas and New Year. Happy. I'll be very happy to do it. Okay, page 459, Sector Agreement for Climate Change Adaptation, Southern Adelaide Region. Fortunately, it's one of those nice-sounding things that doesn't sound like there's too much money attached. But staff have been working furiously on this. So all seems to be Well, it does talk about implementing the Resilient South Plan, but we've already approved that. Can I just have... there you go, page 463. Financial implications, additional funding will be built into specific projects and strategies. So it'll come back later when we have costs. Is that right, Ms. Dixon?
Through the chair, that is correct.
So it's feel good. It's lovely. It's a Christmas present. Councillor Crossland. Seconded, Councillor Gard. Anyone against? Who wants to rip this agreement up? Anyone? Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, I've been in favour of this all the way through. It started at the beginning of the last term.
But are you against it?
No, it's a question. It's a question.
Question?
The question is, you raised the issue of money. I'd like to ask the question is, if we're actually just going through the motions with climate change, when will we actually get to the point of implementation of some of the strategies? This has been dragging on. The other thing is, too, in the sector agreement, this council's pushed dip tie to actually allow us to plant, or allow them, or us, or somebody, to plant trees on the medium strips of major roads, and they've consistently said no. They are, I just want to know whether they are part of the problem of contributing to our heat sinks in our city by not allowing us to do that, or them to do that. So,
Councillor Hugg, you know they provided safety reasons, so I'll ask staff for comment. Ms. Dixon.
Through the chair, so were you wanting just a summary of the achievements to date? Was that, or was it, is that what you were asking, Councillor Hull?
Well, that's in the report,
yep.
But you know, I am questioning that. Like, what have we actually achieved in 7 years?
Oh, heavens, that's, have you got 7 hours? We can answer that. Mr. Scull, what do you say?
Sorry, Chair, just Councillor Hull, I was just going to say that Dipti's argument about planting trees in median in the middle of roads is definitely about safety. And they just won't.
The trees jump out in front of the cars.
Well, they won't. They won't allow that to happen.
I mean, you've got a very extensive strategic actions plan laid out there, Councillor Hull, and you're saying, well, sort of, what are we doing about it? Well, there has been quite a bit, really. But Ms. Dixon?
And through the chair, the report gives some summary of some key achievements. So it talks about the climate change policy that council's adopted, the thermal mapping, which is then informing council's tree planting to address hotspots in the city as well, and also some of the climate change adaption requirements which have been embedded into some key planning documents, so such as your natural landscape design and maintenance guide. I take the point around further funding as well, and being part of a regional approach and an agreement with state government would also increase council's probably likelihood. It's not a guarantee of applying for further funding as new initiatives come.
And, of course, since we discovered solar panels 2 years ago, we've done quite a bit about that too. All right, I'll move the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Oh, I beg your pardon. Sorry. Yep, no. You were quick enough. Record that as carried by majority. Just. Now, page 485. I did talk with our councillor. The ward councillors would be aware of the issue with Morphettville Oval, which is not an oval, and if we're looking at work along Denham Terrace, there is the possibility of actually extending, bulging the footpath to allow the oval to be its proper regulation shape, which I know would be of great value to the club, and that's been included just as a note to bring back a further report, so hopefully that won't cause anyone any problems. Councillor Valescu? Well, yes, let's have an interlude. Councillor Byron?
Thank you, Your Worship.
Just a question regarding this report and the report that we did last council meeting about the building there and the possibility of looking at closing part of Quinn.
And very different issue.
I know they're different issues, but it is the same grounds and that they should be looked at together.
Well, you would think that the Denham Terrace report could incorporate that, you know, the whole precinct as relevant.
I was thinking like Quinn and the Denham Terrace, because they should be, if we're looking at roads, we should be looking at both of those.
It's a little bit disconnected, in all honesty, as to the precise location, but the report can deal with that. So it's been moved. Did you wish to speak further, Councillor?
I would think that both of the... this would actually get people thinking about the impact on Quinn and vice versa. I don't think we need to formalise it. I hope we don't. With Quinn, we're essentially reducing the width of the road to accommodate the building out because of the shape of the oval. We're also extending the footpath and road a little bit on the other side. So that might... mitigate some of the traffic concerns people have in the area. I do note, and I'm happy that the actual speed isn't that many that are over the speed limit, so it's really a perception that people are going fast and people still feel unsafe, but at least people are most of the time doing the right thing. So I look forward to the new design and the next report.
Is that seconded, Councillor Appleby? All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Great, we're having a bit of a show of unity towards the end of the year. That's a surprise. Now, Mitchell Park, page 488. Is that next?
Mm-hmm.
Good. So, everyone knows that we're planning a major redevelopment at the Sports and Community Centre there. We've had a number of... expressions of interest, and I think what we'll do informally is send this report to all parties who might be interested and who might be able to assist us, but it will be sufficient for our purpose to note the report. Councillor Telfer. Seconded Councillor Hutchinson. Anyone against? Councillor Price got a question?
Absolutely. Just in response to the... There's a few groups that I think probably haven't put in an EOI. Is there still any scope for them to do that sort of thing, or is that... we've shut the doors, you're all out.
Ms Dixon?
Through the Chair, no, we'd be open to any other expressions of interest that people want to lodge.
Yeah, it's really just helping us know that it would be a really well-used facility... not just by basketball, but by a whole range of other sports. Councillor Holt?
The report in the agenda on this, who prepared that report? Was that in-house or a consultant?
Ms Dixon?
Through the Chair. No, it was staff developed the report.
Right. Thank you.
All those in favour of noting the report... Thank you. Carried unanimously. Now, as we often do, the finance and work injury reports could be taken en bloc. You can ask questions about either. Moved, Councillor Pfeiffer.
Actually, before that, can I just also move a procedural motion that we keep going to the end of items?
You can.
And I'll also move the other two en bloc.
We'll do those one at a time, I think.
Sure.
So the procedural motion to extend until midnight or whenever we finish the items, is that seconded? Councillor Telfer. Is anyone supporting this? Put your hand up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Those are 7. Are those against? It's carried... by majority. Okay, Councillor Pfeiffer, you've got the call.
Move the other two en bloc.
Thank you. Councillor Telfer, seconded. I just did have a, I must say I had a question about the work injury graph on page 530, the one that spikes. What's that, Mr. Skull?
Through the chair, that one's actually in relation to the duration rate. So there is an injury that where a worker has been off work for a significant period of time, which is what has caused the spike in that on that graph.
Mr. Okay. Mayor, as you know, I ask questions about this specific issue. Long-term injuries are of more concern to me as a board member than paper cuts. And I think we need to know more detail about these long-term injuries, because they're the ones that impact on the organisation the most. So I'll ask again, in terms of our reporting, instead of having all these graphs that often tend to conflict with each other, unless you look at the detail, can we have more information about the big injuries, the ones not only that are of great concern to our worker, but also to us?
Yes, I thought in past reports we'd actually had a short summary at least of, you know, how the injuries occurred. So,
and this one has been reported.
This one's been reported before, that's what we're told. But still, it's curious. The other thing is it's not just on page 530, it's not just figure 2, but on figure 1, it's as if we've gone from being excellent and not on the graph to being kind of average with others. So can that be explained?
Through the chair, so just two items to note. The first point that was raised is that this injury that is spikes in figure 2 is actually on the previous page is the injury that is listed as item 1, where someone has fallen over a chain and fence post. Injury is still requiring them to be off work. The second item in regards to the spike is that's when the claim was accepted, and hence that's when it starts showing on the graph.
Is this the same white chain post that I'm trying to eradicate from the city?
Through your worship, yes it is. He was carrying a tin of paint. He's getting on in years and he didn't lift his leg up far enough. On a chain link fence.
We get rid of the white chain post?
Out of order, I don't think that's relevant to...
That's clearly an operational matter. I'd invite Councillor Hull to take it up with Mr Skull or some other appropriate staff member between meetings. It's been moved and seconded, those two items. All those in favour? All those against? No, that's carried unanimously, thank you. Page 532, upgrade of playgrounds, basically letting community know the cost when we put things out for consultation. Councillor Telfer to move.
This was part of a series of emails that discussion that electmen's have. And so by putting the price on playgrounds, people can understand that there is a cost involved. When I think of things, I think in terms of $1,500. So when there is a cost of a playground, it's a certain number of $1,500 because that's close enough to an average rate.
Is that seconded, Councillor Hutchinson? All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. Next is Councillor Pfeiffer in relation to Dumbarton Avenue Reserve. Dogs.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I'll keep this fairly short and sweet for you. Look, it was 2 years ago that this council created 98 on-leash areas across the whole of the City of Marion. I think it's fair to say that the erection of signage at some of these locations was sluggish at best. In some areas it wasn't so bad, but in others it wasn't great, and in some areas it's taken 2 years to actually erect dog on leash signage. And it, one of these sites being the Dumbarton Avenue Reserve, which I'm referring to here and I referred to earlier on this evening as well, during the intervening 2 years, we've had a effectively a community of dog owners who have started using this facility for an off-leash facility, mainly in the like early evening periods. In my experience, these dog owners have been extremely responsible. All dogs are under voice command. They're kept well away from the playground equipment. And I think, you know, after that 2 years, we can say that, yeah, whilst the policy has been good in many areas, there's probably a couple of sites where it hasn't been great. And I think this is one where I think we need to turn it over. And I note also that we'll be looking at the facility, or at the policy as in total in around about February of next year. But I want to make sure that since we do have a community of existing users down here, that they can hopefully continue to use the site over summer. Thank you, Your Worship.
Is that seconded? Councillor Kerry. And seconded. And Councillor Hutchinson.
Question? Thank you, Your Worship. Councillor Pfeiffer mentioned that it's taken 2 years to get the signage up. Notwithstanding, we had an interim period there. Can administration provide any comment on the delays in providing the signage?
Ms. Dixon.
Through the Chair, there were delays. I agree with Councillor Pfeiffer's comments. There seems to have been a miscommunication through when the resolution was passed to implementing that. We've done a full audit and have identified the ones that still need some work on, and have ordered the appropriate stickers that need to go on the signage as well. So we'll learn from that experience and ensure that that doesn't happen in the future.
So my question is, are all these actions being captured at the end of each meeting for staff to follow up? Because we do have a register of items that need to be pursued and followed up. So will we find out in 6 months' time that we've got other things that haven't been included on the register?
Through the Chair, no. We've done a full audit. We know the ones that need addressing, and they're being dealt with as a priority.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So we keep going. Leaflet advertising on car windows. Councillor Bolescu.
I've seen flyers around Westfield Shopping Centre that end up in front of our library, community facilities. Essentially, it is litter. You know, I can go back to the nostalgic days of seeing, you know, dance events advertised and getting the colourful leaflets on flyers and things like that. But essentially, it is litter. And I think now with technology, a lot of the people can be captured through Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, whatever people may choose to use. Also, there is a note about these A-frame signs, and businesses are able to use it. And, you know, election time, you see a lot of these. They seem to multiply in one spot, and just wonder where the actual face is, where they are. But I think, you know, we could also look at possibly having some agreement that people can put signs up with permission on Stobie poles, you know, actually having certain businesses been able to advertise there if that's appropriate. But this is litter, and some of it is actually quite concerning when you have a teddy bears charity on the same page as someone in a skimpy outfit that can leave aching legs and arms. That's things that come up. So, I think it is litter, and be good to see what we can do to stop it.
Is that seconded? Councillor Appleby, thank you. All those in favour? You don't have to vote for it. But yes, sorry, Councillor Crossan.
Yeah, I'll speak against. I think the answer from the manager has answered the question. It's private property, and council isn't able to interfere with what happens on private property. I just think we're wasting staff time.
other speakers? Councillor Westwood.
So now it's private property as far as littering is concerned, which comes onto council land, public land as well. But of course their parking problems are attended to by our officers, I believe. So where do we draw the line? I think that if there's a community interest in reducing litter, I think it's quite reasonable at the very least to approach other organisation, private or not.
I'll draw the dots. Could staff potentially enter an agreement with Westfield to police littering as well as car parking?
Who'd like to grab that one? Ms Dixon.
Through the chair, we can explore that with Westfield.
Yep. Been a bit of a utility play tonight, Ms Dixon, sort of the ruck rover of council management team at the moment. Councillor Hutchinson, you happy with that? Great. Now, Councillor Crossan's back with another question, even though you've already spoken. Yeah, why not?
The question is, are we suggesting that only Westfield are responsible for all our littering problems, or are we going to say we're going to enter into an agreement with all private businesses within the City of Marion and residents, because they've got private property as well?
Rhetorical. Councillor Pryor.
I can see the value of Councillor Versky's suggestion. Is it really hard for us to track down who's putting the leaflets out?
Probably not. Councillor, sorry, Ms Dixon.
Through the chair, as indicated in the response, staff are proactive, so if we can identify who is the owner and distributor of the leaflet, we make contact with them. So we try to be proactive in that space.
Pretty hard just from a name and a phone number.
I noticed this fella on South Road, he's actually left a chair outside for our officers to sit there while they wait. That's very kind of them to do.
Oh, there's only waiting activities out on the footpath, are you saying? Okay. Just shows I don't know everything that's going on in the city. All right. It's been ample discussion, probably more than enough. Councillor Velescu, to close and absolutely finish the debate. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, Worship. Look, I do want to clarify that if these leaflets are left where there are cars gathered, they are on public roads, especially around railway stations. They are also in shopping centres and would end up on our property as part of that. So I think that there are two different distinctions. We should definitely do what we can on our land, and if there is litter coming from the shopping centre onto our land, it is worth making that approach, especially in circumstances where we're already doing some sort of enforcement activity on that said shopping centre, for example, like we are at Westfield at the moment. So I think it's worth investigating. I look forward to what we can get and see what the report brings.
I mean, if a council that makes up more than 5% of the state's population doesn't deal with these issues, I don't know who will. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Oh, it's carried. Very good. Now, only two short ones to go. And just while we're having a break, I've got to say to those residents of Edwardstown who have sat through more than 3 hours already, you have actually just qualified. You are clearly of a sufficient mental state that you would be eligible to run for council. In fact, we would welcome anybody with that degree of endurance. No, absolutely not. Volunteers line up at the door. Okay. On to Nick Kerry, and with a motion inspired by the mayor, and
that's true. But I think in the interests of the meeting not going on until 12 o'clock, I think I might lie it on the table, because my understanding is that there might be a duplicate motion. There's no rush, and
I'm willing to extend time.
I'm more than happy to lay it on the table, and if there's a duplicate motion, I think it's got a better chance of getting up in the LGA if it's not generated from Marriott.
Okay, but, you know, I am a man of discretion.
Oh, no.
You can have an hour if you want.
And thank you for that generosity, but I'll lay it on the table.
All right. He wants to lay it on the table. He wants to, yes, you can put it that way. And you can bring it back with a motion whenever you wish. So is that seconded, Councillor Westwood? Yes. No? A question about laying it on
and
the table.
And assistance. Could I suggest to the mover that he actually writes that it's that we support the rest of it, you know, support the LGA's action to take over the
sorry? We've got a motion. You're not seconding it. No. Is anyone seconding it?
Oh.
Councillor Pfeiffer is also going to lay it on the table. Fantastic. Procedural motion. Just put the motion. All those in favour. All the hands are up. It's laid on the table. Oh, no, sorry. Not quite. Mark it. Let it be known that was carried by majority. Right. You've got to be quick, you know. You don't want to be known as slow hand Appleby. Okay. Page 538. It's just a question. We note the question. No need to drone on about it. Meeting is closed. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Okay. That's fine. Yep.